This is the Jason Greger Show podcast presented by Lakewood Chevrolet. Good people, great service, and also voted the number one dealer in Canada at dealerrater.ca. Check them out, lakewoodchev.com. Arthur Staple from Newsday in New York joins us. And Arthur, I have to admit, I was surprised, man. You guys have a massive horde of people traveling around covering the New York Islanders.
I think a lot of them work for the team. So really, the traveling beat crew is just yours truly. So it's been a long, windy road these last couple of weeks.
Interesting about the Islanders since Waite took over. They've been excellent in most games, and then they've had a few real stinkers. 7-1 to Toronto, 7-0 to Columbus, that 5 minutes in the first period against Calgary. And he addressed that a little bit today, saying, you know, obviously we want to try to eliminate that. But having watched this team for so many years, Arthur, when Waite took over, like, what changed? Why did this team suddenly become so much better and maybe live up to the potential that they were the last few years?
You know, there hasn't been a coaching change for a long time. Obviously, Jack Capuano has been there for almost 7 years. And, you know, I think that is obviously a bit of a slap in the face to the guys in the room when that change happens pretty suddenly, because they were actually starting to play a little bit better from a pretty atrocious first 25 games this season. And then I think, you know, Doug Waite's been around a long time with this group. And, you know, I think also his assistant GM was kind of instrumental in bringing in guys like Andrew Ladd and Jason Chimera. So I think those relationships he kind of relied on to, you know, be himself, which is a different sort of voice and a different sort of approach than Jack had. Doug is a good guy, and he'll explain things, I think, not only to us in the media, but to the players in the room. And, in a very succinct way, and he's very direct when he needs to be. So I think he relied on his relationships with guys and told them flat out what he needed from all of them. And I think that's, that change has combined with you know, the wake-up call from a coaching change has really started to focus this group the way that they weren't really the first half of the season.
Two players in particular, both free agent signings, were off to tough starts. Andrew Ladd much more than Jason Chimera. But Chimera now has 11 goals in his last 25 games. You know, Andrew Ladd's up to 17 on the season. Where did the turnaround come for those two?
I think, like you said, there really wasn't much of a turnaround for Chimera. He brought what he brings, you know, he brings rather what he's brought in his entire career, which is a guy who can kind of, you know, be anywhere in the, you know, from the second line to the fourth line, and you know, a little feistiness, a lot of speed for a guy his age, and he throws pucks on net, and you know, it's they're not always the prettiest, but you know, he's up to 16, he's on pace to go over, you know, go up to 20, which is his career high from last year, and I would think that given the players that he played with in Washington last season and how much power play time he got, and he's not getting really either of those here, he's on track to produce just as much and probably maybe even a little bit more than the Islanders projected this year. And as far as Ladd goes, you know, he started off the season playing on the left side with John Tavares. The first five games or so, they were generating a lot and he just wasn't scoring anything. And Jack Capuano moved him off that line. And I think that threw him a little bit. You know, he signed that huge long-term deal. I think he came in feeling like he was going to be the top line left wing, thick and thin. He had an A on his sweater, and moving him off of that line kind of, you know, took him back, and he got a little bit lost, I think, over the next month and a half or so. And he started to put it back together a little bit, went out with a back injury when the coaching change was made, was gone for about a week. And I think ever since then, when he came back, he's really the guy that the Islanders thought they were getting. His speed has been helpful. He's snapping off a lot of those quick wrist shots that he gets, and he's been pretty feisty too. So I think Doug Waite's putting him back together with Jason Chimera with Ryan Strome in the middle tonight. And you know, paired with Chimera, I think they both provide a little bit of speed and a little bit of an edge, and that's been where they've both been most productive.
Arthur Staple from Newsday joins us. You mentioned that Chimera hasn't been playing on the power play, and as good as the Islanders have been, 13-6-3 since Doug Waite took over, their power play is still not going well at all. They're sitting at 15.4%. What has to change for their power play to actually start gaining some traction, for them to start finding some success?
You know, it's been a puzzler for a lot of the time I've been covering them, which is pretty much all the time that John Tavares has been there. And I think They have a lot of distributors and not a lot of shooters. When it was going really well a couple of years ago, Johnny Boychuk was at the point blasting away, and I think they've taken him off there. He's more on the second unit. Obviously, he's out tonight with an injury, but I think they just want more mobility, getting into the zone, setting up. Particularly this year, losing Franz Nielsen, who was kind of the guy who carried the mail last year and for a lot of years before that, has hurt a lot, and they don't really have that designed guy to break the puck into the zone. And really, they don't have a big bomber from the point. Nick Leddy has improved his shoot-first mentality a bit. He's been on that. He's been the lone defenseman on that group, that power play one, for the whole season. But there's a lot of distributing and not a lot of shooting, I think, is the main thing. And I guess you could say that about a lot of power plays that don't work. But they don't seem to have the guys on the wings that, the one-time guys from either side. Ryan Strome is the only righty, I think, who plays in that power play one, and he's not not a guy who's a shoot first guy. So I think that's been the main issue. Doug Waite hasn't really tinkered with it too much. It was his baby when he was an assistant coach. So obviously he likes the groups that were put together initially. They've got a guy in Ryan Pulock who hasn't been called up yet, who's got the big shot from the point as a right shot defenseman, and he's lighting it up in the AHL. So I think if it continues to flounder, maybe that's a solution that could present itself if the Islanders can't produce on the power play down the stretch here, that Pulock, who obviously has a big shot and has used it well on the power play in the playoffs last year for the Islanders, could be a solution that they call up.
I was going to ask you about their defenseman. Boychuk is out tonight. He's day-to-day. And then, of course, Pulock with the big shot. Are they just waiting to get Boychuk back before they dip in the minors?
I think the feeling is they've got a pretty decent rotation of guys right now, and Adam Pellick and Scott Mayfield are kind of their guys who have been in the minors this year, who are called up right now among the eight they have up. And Mayfield has been a pleasant surprise. He scratched tonight. He had a rough one in Calgary, but for a guy his size who didn't have such a great camp, he's come up and been a pretty good 6-7 guy who can shove people around and be physical. I think with Travis Hamonic being back now, Mayfield might get bumped down a bit on the right side, but Pellick has been pretty good. His skating's not bad. He's taken a little, he's plateaued a little bit now in his rookie year. But when he came up, he showed some good mobility and good simpleness to his game. And, he's going to play on the right side with Nick Leddy tonight. And really on his off side has been where he's been best. And they've had some pairs, Calvin DeHaan and Dennis Seidenberg, who have been fairly steady for a third pair. Thomas Hickey's been okay. Travis Hamonic, like I said, just back from a 2-month injury. So I don't think they're ready to send guys down and shuffle those people around just yet. But like I said, Pulock has been, I think he's up to 13 or 14 goals now in the AHL. So maybe if they're going to need more offense down the stretch, they'd look to him. But I think they feel like, other than some of those games, as you mentioned, where they've had some real clunkers over the last couple of weeks, the defense and the goaltending and their play in their defensive zone has been pretty steady.
Arthur Stable from Newsday New York, beat reporter for the Islanders, joins us. Islanders in town tonight to take on the Oilers, looking for their first win since 2003. Now, they've only had 6 appearances since, but still haven't won in 14 years in Edmonton. First visit at the new arena. Speaking of arenas, what are you hearing on the home of the Islanders?
Well, it's still Brooklyn. It's going to be Brooklyn next year, and it's probably going to be Brooklyn the year after that.
Okay.
The rest of it is kind of up in the air. It won't be Nassau Coliseum unless a lot changes with that. I think there's been some public pleas by politicians out on Long Island to get them back, which I think is causing a lot of sarcastic laughter around the Islanders' offices for people in that front office who have been there a long time, who were trying to get a new arena built there for decades, that were rejected pretty soundly from both sides of the political aisle on Long Island for a long, long time. So I don't think that's going to be an option. But there's talk of possibly banding together with some other sport owners to build something at Belmont Park, the racetrack that's just outside of the New York City border on Long Island. The land is there. There's a rail stop there. There's some obviously some pluses to that. But that would be another new arena in a pretty crowded market already, when you count the Prudential Center where the Devils play, Madison Square Garden, Barclays, the Coliseum, which is going to be renovated and open at some point in the near future. So there's a lot of obstacles to moving to a new place. The plus side would be there wouldn't be any more 9-game road trips like the one that we're on right now, because the Islanders have felt for their 2 years in Brooklyn that they've been not really getting good preference on home dates. They had a ton of home games early, and that's why this 9-game road trip is going on right now, the longest in franchise history. And you know, there's just, it's part of a bigger picture, I think, for the you know, I guess you'd call it a bad marriage between the team and the arena that doesn't see them as a you know, a revenue generating franchise, and it's just not been great from the start. So I'm sure the Islanders owners would love to have a new building if they can get it done, and I'm sure the Barclays folks would be happy to say so long and help them pack their bags if they decided to go.
Interesting. I guess it's been a never-ending story of the Islanders in the arena for quite some time, Arthur. I'm sure you're a little sick of it. So it's good that you can focus on a playoff push as the Islanders, the Leafs, the Panthers and the Lightning, not all bad. I guess even Boston's still not completely out of that safety net either. So it should be a great race. We'll see you at the rink. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.